He reported them all things. So Jonathan told David what King Saul said. But didn't he also tell him what he said about David? It probably would have went like this. My father's wanting to kill you. He's got his servants. He's told me. He wants you dead. But don't worry. This is what I say. This is how I feel about you. You're a good man. You've done nothing wrong. You've done great things, David. And you'll be the king of Israel. He was not only willing to speak well of David to others, but he was willing to go back to David and say, "You're a good man. You're my friend. And you've done nothing wrong. And I know you've done nothing wrong." When's the last time you complimented your friend? When's the last time you looked at them and said, "You know what? You mean a lot to me. I love you. You're going to do great things. And I know that God is pleased with your service to Him." If we went on to the 23rd chapter, we would find in verses around verses 16 and 17, if you have your notebooks and you like marking down verses, mark this one down. Verses 16 and 17, I believe. Jonathan comes to David, and it's a time where David is really scared. And this is what Jonathan tells David. He says, the Bible tells us that Jonathan strengthened David's hand in the Lord, verse 16. And then verse 17, Jonathan told David, "You're going to be the king of Israel. And my father knows it. Everybody knows it." He also told him of the things he would do in the future. "These are the great things that you're doing now. These are the great things you have done. And these are the great things you're going to do. Why? Because I can see it in you. And my father, who hates you, he can see it." I'll go ahead and say this. If we're not having that kind of language in our relationships with our friends, something's wrong. Friends tell each other how much they mean to each other. And then not only that, in tough times, they will help and encourage them to realize the effects and the positive effects they'll have in the future. And that's what we see in Jonathan. I'll be honest with you. I'm a homebody. I don't like being away from home. My speech class knows this as a fact. Because every time I gave a speech, just about every time I gave a speech, I talked about home. And I love going home. Last year, I counted it up. I went home over 30 times last year back to Parrish, Alabama. Why? I had a girlfriend that was back there. And I had a family that was back there. This is what I would do. On Fridays, after I would take my last class, I would pack up and I would leave later on at 2 or 3 in the evening. I would get home. I would work on my classes Friday and Saturday. Go to church on Sunday. Stay at home Sunday night. Wake up at 4 a.m. Leave my house at 5 a.m. Get to school at 8 o'clock to be in class at 8:30. Why did I do that? I'm insane. I'll be honest, and I won't be humorous anymore, but that took a toll on me. I wanted to be in two places at once. I love being at home. I wanted to see the people I love. But I also wanted to be here because I wanted to learn. I wanted to be with Christian family because I began to make friends here. But I'll tell you, one thing that I do know. I knew that when I came back, after I was so tired and sleepy, I knew I had a roommate to come back to that would encourage me. He told me about everything that we could do for God in the future. One night we sat in our rooms on a Wednesday night when one of us was sick and couldn't go to worship. And we sat and we read the Bible together. That's a blessing. And if you haven't realized that, I hope you do. Because a friend that tells you the potential that you have and compliments you and tells you how much you mean to him, that's a friendship from God. So Jonathan, we find with him and David in their relationship, Jonathan was willing to tell David what he truly meant to him and how he felt about it. The last thing that I want to go over, last thing, chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. I mentioned before, David was scared in chapter 23. I really do think he was even more terrified in chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, simply because the language that he was using. So we'll start in chapter 20 and verses 1 and then through 4. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" And he said to him, "Far from it. You shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? It is not so." But David bowed again, saying, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he thinks, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." We're going to stop there. How do you feel, David, right now? "I'm scared to death. The king of Israel is chasing after me. He's already thrown a spear at me and tried to kill me in his house. I don't know where to go. I don't know what God wants from me. What have I done wrong to deserve this kind of treatment? Tell me." Listen to what his friend says back to him in verse 4. Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." In other words, "I'm here, bro. I'm not leaving. Where you're going to go, I'll go. No matter what happens to you, I'm going to be there." When David was in the roughest patch of his life, guess where Jonathan was? Right next to him. Right there. When your friend is going through something that is traumatic, terrifying, and they don't know what to do, where are they? Is there something else that's more important than comforting your friend? I really don't think so. Your friend needs you. When they're in trouble, when they're hurting, you have to be there. Why? Because there's probably no one else to be there for them. David, there was no one else to be there. He hasn't seen his father in probably years. But who was there? The only one that cared was there. And that was his friend. Are you willing to look at your friend and say, "You can stay up all night. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be there for you. We can get down on the ground until my knees bleed. We can pray. I can hold you. I'll cry with you. But I'm not going to leave." Jonathan was with David throughout all the terrible things that were happening. I'm sure many of you know Dr. Paul Hilton. I don't know if he's your favorite teacher or your least favorite teacher, but I read his book, Release, and it was a great book. He wrote it for a great purpose, for people who are suffering with physical and also sexual abuse. He wrote a book, and it's amazing. It's about 146 pages, and I read it one night. I couldn't put it down. It's not that I love reading. It's just a great book. On page 102, he meets this girl who is named Katie Maurice, and she's gone through just unimaginable events, just terrible things. And he gets to a point to where he reads all the things that happened to her. She wrote it in a journal because she could not verbally speak it to him because it was so terrible. She wrote it down in a journal. He finishes the journal, calls her, and this is what he says to her. Hey, I read your journal. This is what she says. Well, do you hate me? He says, hate you? How could I hate you? You've done nothing wrong. I hate the things that happen to you. Listen to what he says to her. He's a counselor. And this is what he says. I will make a vow to never quit unless I die until you are better. I read that and I said, that's got to be in my lesson. Because that needs to be the mindset that we have for the friends that we love, who are brothers and who are sisters in Christ our Lord. He was there for his friend, Jonathan. And he was the true sixth man. I'm going to bring this to a close. When we die someday, and last time I checked, the death rate among the human population was 100%. Isn't that amazing? We're all going to die. And most of us will have a funeral. Most of us will. Some people may just don't want to do that. That's okay. But most of us will. And someone will get up behind the podium, and our bodies will be laid out right there in front. And they'll begin to speak words about the life that we lived. Hopefully, they will say the same thing that David said about Jonathan after Jonathan was killed at the end of the book of 1 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, this is what David said about Jonathan, quoting from the book of Jashar. Your love to me was outstanding. Hopefully, our funeral director would say, this man or woman lived a great life, but what was amazing about them was that their love for their friends was outstanding. I love y'all very much. And I know that there is someone probably here tonight who is not right with God. Statistically speaking, it's probably true. If you are right with God, keep going. Keep being faithful. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is it right here. Believe in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Turn away from those sins and turn to God and live a life that would glorify Him. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then you can rise up to live a new life. If you've become a Christian and you've fallen away and you're living a life that you are not proud of, you know the great thing about it? Jesus, your friend, is a forgiving friend. And He would love for you to come back and pray. So please do so as we stand and sing.